Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, we got to get this channel changed in our room. Turn it to ESPN. We're looking at some kind of dermatology commercials. Earlier, there was a guy at the table saw. We got to get our sports stuff going on in here. Your Astros got their sports stuff going on. Is a massive two-game sweep over the Colorado Rockies. 5-1 was the final yesterday. Aledmys Diaz continues to play really well. He had three hits, three more RBIs. He's 8 of his last 16. He is a guy who has really gotten it together after another prolonged stay on the injured list. We just heard from Alex Bregman. Bregman is hitting .95. He's hitting 95. 2 of 27, his time with the Sugarland Skeeters. Now, luckily, it's just one strikeout. So it's not like, you know, it's not like he's just getting wasted in the minor leagues. He just hasn't really gotten his timing back. And they're going to extend his, there may be some concerns, but they said the quad is fine. But maybe there's concerns about how he's performing. Maybe there's concerns about making sure that the soft tissue stuff doesn't become an issue for him again, as he talked about using a machine at the Houston Rockets have, and working with some doctor out of Australia, I guess. But right now, Alex Bregman just not hitting, and that's against AAA pitching. So that's why they're going to be cautious with him, because they can be. Why bring the guy up when he's maybe not in the right mind space from a standpoint of having his confidence back, not seeing the ball well? They can give him time to keep working on that in the minor league. So Alex Bregman, it'll take a little bit longer to get Bregman back. You did have Framber Valdez pick up another win, and, you know, he had a shaky first, gave up a run there. They strung some hits together on him. In the fifth inning, he got himself in a little bit of trouble with a couple walks, or hit by pitch and a walk, I think. In the sixth inning, the same thing, but he got out of both of those spots. So Framber still has the stuff. He's still getting out of it. He just hasn't become the Framber who commands the plate. 100 pitches yesterday and only 54 strikes. This has become, because I'm a numbers guy, Dell, I can tell you that if you throw 100 pitches and 54 are strikes, in terms of my mental math, I come up with 54% strike ratio.
Are you under the belief that you're the only one who could have figured that out?
Because I've always been good at mental math. I'm not saying I'm the only one who can figure it out. Everyone has computer app on, or you have a calculator app on your phone.
So you did that.
I did
it
with
a
calculator
though,
app. Because I don't
think
need
the calculator is an app. I think it's just built into the phone.
Yeah, but it's a phone app that's in there. They give it to you.
You can delete it, right?
Access it.
You can't delete the calculator.
No, you shouldn't, because then you'll start making bad math mistakes as opposed to somebody who's a numbers guy like me.
You can remove the app from your screen. I don't know if you can delete it permanently. I just checked. Look, the number 100 is very convenient for you, because all you have to do is, you know.
Yeah, but that's why I'm good at mental math. I know these things. A lot of people don't give my secrets away, though.
Okay.
Don't give my math secrets away.
No problem.
So Framber, yeah, Framber's still not finding the strike zone. Just
You've been calling out, not calling out Framber, but you've been about this.
Because Framber's my
guy. I don't know
about
Framber.
I've been on Team Framber so hard.
From the very start of this kind of downturn.
Well, you know why? Because I know what his background is. He had the issues with walks. Then he went to a sports psychologist. Then he was awesome. And then what I was afraid of was, oh, my God, this is happening again. Look at all these walks. And it hasn't changed. And We talked a little bit about the Simone Biles stuff. We've talked about Osaka. We talked about, you know, I talked about how with this is in sports, like there's some people who I guess don't follow sports who acted like what Simone Biles was going through is the first time that anyone has been struggling mentally who's in the sports space. It happens on a regular basis. I know, she's flipping in the air. She has twisties. That's great.
You heard it.
I'm talking about, though, there is an issue that all athletes can run into, and especially baseball players. And what I'm worried about is this guy who's a true number one last year, like a true number one. Now the walks are back, and I worry because I looked at him as a true number one, and now he's not. And I don't understand why Framber can't get back to eliminating some of those walks. It's a concern for me personally because I don't buy into Zach Greinke as a guy that you saddle up and you ride into the postseason for a big postseason. I don't think he has that anymore.
How many of those pitchers exist?
Well, for good teams, like for the Astros have had it, I think Dallas Keuchel was that kind of pitcher in 15, obviously. When they went back to the playoffs in 17, they obviously had Justin Verlander. In 18, they had Verlander and Cole. In 19, they had Verlander and Cole, but especially Cole and Verlander.
But with Cole.
And last year, they had Framber.
But with Cole, this version of Garrett Cole.
I thought Framber was that last year, actually.
But would this version of Garrett Cole without Spider-Tack be a guy you would call that now?
Maybe not. But you'd feel like it because you've seen it in the past. I don't think you have one at all. Like, I think the Astros have had that, their new iteration of the Astros. I think it's been there. Every year they've been in the playoffs, they've had a guy that you felt like was a horse that you could ride. And that includes Framber last year. I thought Framber was for sure a horse. Now, I look at it and I don't see that. I think the closest you get right now is McCullers. And I just don't feel like McCullers is quite, like, you can't put him in that same category as SP1. And Greinke's not that guy. Garcia's not that guy. Framber's not that guy. That's why that concerns me a little bit is I think the only two you could have Greinke's time is past to me for being that guy. It doesn't mean he can't be a really good pitcher. It just means I think that his time is, you know, what you see is what you get.
Only reason I ask that question because will the postseason just be filled with starters going six, not just the Astros, just across baseball, hopefully. Teams hoping their starters give them six solid innings and then piece together a bullpen and see if you can get to the finish line. Because I don't know if I don't want to blame everything on Spider-Tack, but you know, we point to Garrett Cole because of obviously the connection. The dude he's gone 6-5 since he went 9 against the Astros and won in that series before the All-Star break. He's gone 6 innings, 5-5 1/3. And in two of those games, he gave up his last outing before he went on the IL, I guess, or at least he missed a start. He gave up 7 earned runs in 5 1/3, and the game before that, 3 earned runs in 5, and then not so bad the game before. And we've documented him and his struggles since the rules were put in place. So I don't know if we're going to see a lot of that. We'll see what Scherzer is about with the Dodgers in the postseason, but I think we're going to see a lot of guys in that Framber territory where it feels like they're scuffling through 6, and if they wind up giving up a run, 1 earned run, you're like, okay, this is what we can expect. So I'm not sure how many true number ones are going to exist in these playoffs. We'll see.
We're spoiled from having Justin Verlander that long and then having, of course, not Verlander last year, and not Garrett Cole last year, but Framber stepped up out of nowhere, which is, I think, one of the only reasons you could point to the Astros getting as far as they did is because you had, you know, he just played exceptionally well. He pitched exceptionally well. So that's why I'm kind of maybe banging the drum a little too hard on Framber. I talked about the Rockets, and while I was gone, it was funny. My timeline was lighting up. I was on vacation. My timeline was lighting up with Jalen Green this and Jalen Green that. And the number 2 pick of the 2021 draft for the Houston Rockets absolutely went off in the preseason. Not the preseason, but in summer league. And once again, this is a summer league. In Vegas, it's the Vegas Summer League, but it's become a bigger and bigger deal as more and more teams more and more fan bases have access to that. Summer League teams have been going on forever and ever, but
yeah. This
is a chance for some of the young players to shine. And for the Rockets, this is a real chance. Daryl Morey never had draft picks, so it wasn't even like you had anyone to get excited about. Jalen Green put together a couple of very strong games, including a game where, by most accounts, he outplayed Cade Cunningham, the top pick of the draft, although Cade played pretty well too. But Alperen Sengun had a really strong performance as well his last time out, 21 points and 8 rebounds, the postman from Turkey. And Rafael Stone, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, is going to join us at 10:30 from Las Vegas to talk about the Rockets summer league camp and talk about some of the players who are playing right now, some of the young players. But Jalen Green, did you get to watch any of it?
Yeah, Jeff, we see you. We'll get to you on the other side. You want to talk about Christian Wood and Jalen Green? I did, and his ability to get his shot is what people talked about coming in. I mean, you watched it. Now, obviously, the caveat of who he was playing against in the summer league and all that stuff, but he appears to be someone who, because of his ability on the dribble, he's going to be able to create space to get shots quite a bit. And even his catch-and-shoot stuff was pretty nice, particularly in the second game, where he actually was more efficient in the second game than he was in the first. He got to the line in the second game. He did not get to the line really at all. Maybe one free throw attempt in the first game. That changed in the second game. It was interesting to watch Detroit actually put on what you might see in a regular season defensively against them. They trapped him at the foul, not the foul line, at the half court line. I think he might even have dribbled the ball in the backcourt, but he got missed. He was straddling the lineup. I wasn't quite sure. They trapped him. They blitzed the pick and roll. Just gave him some different looks you don't generally see
in
the summer league. And now he kind of struggled with that. Some turnovers. That's maybe to be expected. A little bit surprised by it. We'll see how if other teams do that to him in the summer league, whether he figures out a way to get by it, but he's everything people talked about going, and he looks like a guy when all is said and done, the Rockets are going to say, we got that pick right. And that probably goes for the entire draft so far. I did see a lot of NBA Twitter wanting to see Şengün. I've heard different pronunciations. Oh, okay. Talk about seeing him against bigger players. Like Luka Garza was in there, the Iowa guy who's lost quite a bit of weight. The guy who was like the player of the year in college. People aren't really all that surprised by what Şengün has done because he played in a better league in Turkey. He's been a professional against some guys who haven't been professionals. I think people are craving to see him against bigger bigs to see what he can do.
Questions his strength, his size, his strength. And look, he's going to be a stretch four who can step outside and take you off the dribble. He's a very talented passer, sees the court extremely well. There's a reason he's comped to Jokic, although everyone's quick to say, I'm not saying he's Jokic, but that's how he plays. I do wonder if he's going to be able to hold up defensively and physically, but once again, he's a super young player, so it's just nice to have young players look good in the Vegas Summer League, so you can actually have something to get excited about.
Now, we got to go, but you mentioned Miles Straw, and I want to bring up a comparison about Miles Straw and some of these younger some of these Rocket players and how people might feel and get attached to them. And the long-term viability of having these guys on the roster going forward.
All right, we'll do that. We'll explore a little bit more. We'll explore that Rocket space a little bit more when we come back. Also, Houston Texans have their first preseason game, so it's time to start getting a little bit serious about some of the things that we are going to take a look at in Game 1 that jumps off Saturday. I want to tell you about something you need to be looking at, and that is siding. When you have a house that is older, that is beginning to have, maybe you had the initial wood that was put on there, it's beginning to dilapidate, it looks terrible. My friends over at Allstate Windows and Siding, they can get you not only the siding so that your house really has a fresh face, but also windows at an affordable price. And these windows are energy efficient. It makes such a huge deal to have energy efficient windows on. You will notice immediately that your house stays warmer in the summer or in the winter and cooler in the summer. It's an immediate noticeable thing when you have an older house where you've had the shifting and movement with the foundation and then your old windows just don't work as well. Call Allstate Windows and Siding. They will get out there, give you 25% off of your windows, or you can buy 10 windows and get two windows absolutely free. Plus, they have $2,000 off of complete siding jobs as well. So you want to get the house completely taken care of? They want to throw you $2,000 off of that. So take advantage of these right now. Remember, Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or connect with them online at AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, it's 8:21 here on the bench. And Jeremy Branham's going to join us here at 8:30. He's going to be one of the new hosts. He's going to be with Joel Blank. So, but it's not Press Box, Killer Bees.
Correct.
Blank and Branham.
Yes.
All right, Killer Bees. I like it. Got a Houston ring to it.
Reminds me of the 05 Astros.
Is that what it reminds you of?
Yeah, because you had Brandon Backe, Brad Ausmus, Craig Biggio.
Backe and Ausmus are the two guys you named first?
Yeah.
Well, his name, you got
it. Is it actually even before then? You had Barry and Bell and Bagwell and Biggio. It goes back to the 90s.
Albert Bell?
No.
Derek Bell.
Oh, Derek Bell.
Operation Shutdown.
Bell. Operation Shutdown.
He was on that video game.
Which video game? A baseball video game?
Yeah, and the arcades.
Well, that makes sense.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
Derek Bell was on a baseball video game, is what he said.
Yeah, you remember the video game and the arcades where you had the little bat and you had the joystick and you swung the little bat?
I don't even know.
No,
like,
I don't.
What
know.
Are you? What are you? RBI? I don't
yeah,
even.
Yeah.
That's yeah, I think a lot of players are on that, Trey. I think it's called a lineup.
Right.
And they got through a whole lineup, and he was just one of the players who was on that game because it was licensed that they could have Astros on there.
You might be right.
Probably. I think I am right on that one. Let's get Jeff in here. He wants to talk about Jalen Green and your Houston Rockets. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. I want to talk about how I'm impressed with Jalen Green's effortlessness in scoring. A lot of guys you see that have to work really hard for, and that's usually not a good sign. If he's going to be a superstar or not, usually with superstars, they just look different. And he looks different to me. And the one thing I'm going to really look at is the relationship of Wood and Green. Because some vets that were the number one option are cool with the new kid on the block, and then others aren't. And with Wood wanting to be that star player, he's now potentially second or third with KPJ and Jalen Green. So that's really what I'm going to look for in this preseason when summer league's over, is how they all interact. Because, you know, I don't want to trade Christian Wood. I'm not going to get into that. I just want to really see how these guys work together, and I hope it's really positive, because I think these guys could be a legitimate team, not this year, but next year once Wall's off it. So I'm really excited with Jalen Green. I'm really impressed with what I'm seeing, because people forget he played against grown men already. So he's a legitimate prospect. He scored 17.5 points in the G League, which is hard reffing compared to the NBA. Like, they ref like they do in the Olympics. They let a lot of stuff go because it's the G League. And he scored 37% from three. So I'm really excited seeing him against these summer league players. Effortless scoring, really in a great attitude, which is really good for a bad team. People forget. Attitude is leadership, and I think he can be a great leader for the Rockets for years to come.
Now, Jeff brought up a good point with Christian Wood, because we've heard, well, at least I have, and I heard it again in a subsequent podcast, that Ryan Russillo, formerly of ESPN, now the Ringer, that the Bill Simmons podcast and website network, that he mentioned again that Christian Wood's not a great teammate. It's the second time in a matter of a month, I believe, who he just offhandedly said pretty much, well, the whole Christian Wood thing is interesting, but he wears out his welcome. Maybe not a great guy in the locker room. So we will see for a guy who has been passed over and certainly has something to prove. You know, even you could see it in the attitude when I think when he was on NBA, when he was on TNT and they did an interview with him, and he called the guy, I think was it Shaq a casual for not knowing who he was?
Yeah.
That he has a chip on his shoulder, probably earned by a lack of attention early in his career. That's the second time Russillo has said he's not the greatest guy to play with. So we'll see with two guards, younger guards, who have to kind of expand their game for the Rockets to reach where they want to reach, if that becomes an issue.
You think that, Jalen Green is the guy. So Jalen Green is the Houston Rockets, but you don't want to put that much on the kid right off the bat. And you also don't want him, in a perfect world, there would be a learning curve. There would be a growth pattern. He's very young. He's played in the G League. He didn't have any college experience. Has had very little structure. Didn't play a ton of games in the G League either. So you'd love for him to be able to come up and, you know, kind of learn the ropes with veterans, but that's really not going to be the case with the Houston Rockets. A lot of young players are going to be asked to do a lot moving forward. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, to your point, I hope Christian Wood is on board with everything, because if not, then you can go too.
Well, think about how this roster's set up. I mean, Eric Gordon did an interview. I was watching a game against the Pistons. He was there in summer league. I didn't listen to what he was asked, but he's there watching the games like a lot of NBA players. You have two veteran guards making a lot of money, in John Wall's case, like max money, who realistically shouldn't get heavy minutes in terms of starters' minutes because they're progress stoppers. Mm-hmm. Why are we giving Eric Gordon and Wall minutes when you want to see everything you can from Green and Porter Jr. and maybe even a guy like Josh Christopher, who's had his moments in summer league? So what do you do with established veterans who are still in your roster and maybe deemed somewhat untradeable because of their costs and injury history? How do you dole out those minutes and make sure they're not a problem?
Yeah, and that's what you're gonna have to. Nothing can get in the way of whatever your process is. Whatever, and that's something that you mentioned with, it doesn't seem like the Texans, their process on everything has been off. The Rockets have a chance now. We'll visit with the Rockets GM, Rafael Stone, in a couple of hours. But they got a chance to have a process for building this team. And it's from the ground floor up. But they have a player who looks really, really, and I said this, you know, after the draft, I would make Jalen Green the favorite to win Rookie of the Year. And the reason is because, A, he's super talented, and B, I think he's just going to get lots of opportunities. He's going to be the player who people are most excited about, I think, with the Houston Rockets, and I think he'll sell some tickets. I think it's going to be we're going to have Jalen Green moments that we're going to talk about, and some people call them mojo moments. And
who calls them that?
Mike McCarthy calls things mojo moments.
Well,
I don't like that.
Yeah, I didn't either. Did you see Hard Knocks? It felt really like a try-hard thing.
Did you see Jerry Jones?
I saw Jerry Jones.
Is Mike McCarthy too out of shape to be a coach of an NFL team? Because that's what I heard yesterday.
Who said that? Skip Bayless?
Jenny Tath went after him. People were championing Jenny Tath. Is the weight of a coach important? Apparently it is to Skip Bayless. He wouldn't want
a problem with Andy Reid?
Yeah, Andy Reid won a Super Bowl.
He wouldn't want Mike McCarthy coaching him.
Well, Skip tries so hard to find new angles to troll. It's unbelievable.
But the issue was Skip did not take the correction from Jenny Tath well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got the audio. I'll send it to Trey.
All right, I'm interested in hearing that. I also want to get the audio. I can't find it right now. Where Mike McCarthy is addressing his team about they're not going to be screwing around during practice. And he's got some interesting names that I want to start using for different people, although we're going to have to clean it up. So we'll see if we can find that. Trust me, it's worth playing. We just have to see if we can find a cleaned up version of it. Let's take a break right here. I see you, SM Sunny. We do want to talk about Hard Knocks with the Cowboys. I want to mention a couple things on it. I think it's going to be worth watching this year. I got super bored when it was the Rams. I was like, oh, the Rams. I forced myself to watch the Raiders, and I'm like, okay, it's all right. The Rams, was like, I can't do it. I'm out. Who was it last year? I was totally out on it.
It was the Rams again.
Well, it couldn't have been again.
Was the Rams and the Chargers?
Yeah, it was both LA teams.
At the same time?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, there you go. I didn't watch it last year. I think I'm going to watch it this year with the Cowboys because there is some interesting things. And I do want to mention some things that I saw there, including Zeke Elliott's weight loss. You can tell he's a lot lighter. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by the newest member of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jeremy Branham is going to stop in with us. He's going to start joining Joel Blank on a daily basis to make up the brand new show called Killer Bees. So we'll talk to him here in about 2 minutes, 8:31 here on the bench.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
right now. Joining us right now, and we'll get into it here in a second, is Jeremy Branham, who is the newest co-host with Joel Blank. Killer Bees is a brand new show. First of all, welcome and congratulations on the new gig.
Thank you.
Give people give people an idea of what you've been doing, where you've been, you know, your background.
Yeah, you know, it all started here back in the old 1560 days. I was here a little bit back then. Started doing some of the local stuff with the, Dave Tepper was running the place.
Uh-huh.
Then I went down the road a little bit to the flagship and was doing a variety of different things.
They have Camp Casario there right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's going on. You know.
Yeah.
It's going on in
Camp,
Houston.
They try to shut it down, but you can't shut down Camp Casario.
Camp Casario almost ended prematurely yesterday. Not quite. And then that's kind of the sports talk stuff, but then play-by-play, U of H play-by-play, basketball, baseball, help out with football.
You took over when Matt Thomas got the full-time Rocket job?
Took over for basketball. Yeah, when Matt Thomas got the Rockets gig, I became the voice of men's basketball.
So you're still doing it right now?
Yeah.
That's awesome. How much fun was the last 3 years, really? But let's just say last year's run to the Final Four. How fun was that?
I mean, it's like you said, the last few years have been, I mean, just a blast. And I love being in the building, right? Like being in the building for a huge game, you know, you get the goosebumps.
Were you in the building last year?
I was. I was able to travel. I wasn't in the building for all the road games. Like we did a few of the broadcasts remotely, but once the postseason came around, they gave me the green light to travel. So I was going back and forth to Indy every week. And, you know, of course, that run to the Final Four was a lot of fun.
God, that was so much fun. And yeah, and everything was contained. So when you talked about going back and forth, you know, it's typically not standard for Final Fours, but last year was obviously a little different year. I want to stay on it just for a second. What's it been like to cover Kelvin Sampson as head coach for Houston?
I mean, I'm a little biased because I'm around him a lot. Mm-hmm. I talk to him a good amount, host his coaches shows, do the TV show for him too. So, you know, I'm a little bit biased, but to me, he's the best coach in the country. And if you want to push back on that and say that he's not, well, he was the best coach in the country for the U of H job because what he's done there, that, you know, he's turned a program around that was dormant. I mean, it was about as close to dead as you could be. The old Hoffines Pavilion was a dump. It was not you weren't getting great players. And for him to turn it around and turn it around as quickly as he did, it's one of the best college basketball coaching jobs in the last, you know, two decades.
He gets guys to play so hard, too. Like, you know, I love seeing a team that defends like that and plays as hard as they do. And I think we're going to start seeing an influx of additional talent. It's such a big deal when you get to a Final Four and you put yourself on a stage for younger players to start considering you again. I think that's a really big deal. And if he could keep some of the Houston players at home from this city, that would be a big deal as well. Where do you fall on your baseball allegiances? How have you, give us your background growing up.
Well, I mean, born and raised in Houston. Like I've never been out of the city. So I'm Houston through and through. You know, I've seen the,
you've been to Deer Park. Isn't that where you live, Dell, or Texas?
No,
City?
I don't live in Deer Park.
For
whatever reason, tried to drop Deer Park on me or text me like that's supposed to be an insult. What's your issue?
No, outside of Houston. Have you ever been there?
I have been to Deer Park.
It's not that far out of Houston.
That's too far.
It ain't Dallas. What are you talking about?
Isn't that where Urban Cowboy was shot?
Probably, yeah.
We're just going to go with that. Sure. You pretend like it's like Louisiana or something. People in Deer Park root for the local teams.
I know.
Then why do you keep making it seem like
Woodlands
it's
is far away.
Why do you
El Campo?
Look, there's a tone. Like if you're there, you're lesser than. Is what
I
you
didn't
make
know
it sound
if,
like.
If Jeremy had ever been outside of Houston,
why are you banging again on Deer Park?
That's where Andy Pettit's from.
Sure,
I like Deer Park.
Then why
My
don't
mom
you respect
went to
it?
High school with Andy Pettit.
What's that?
Is he? Oh, she did.
My mom went to high school with Andy Pettit.
Okay,
is that? Were they,
is there
did
a
they
story?
Date?
No, they.
They yeah, just yeah. happened to be in the
I,
same school.
I think she hates him. She.
Oh.
She would always talk about how he did steroids in the locker room.
Okay, Trey, turn your mic off.
Why? Why?
You can't let Trey.
Why?
Run amok with his steroid talk.
It's just what
his
mom thinks. It's what his mom thinks. Not what Trey thinks.
I mean, she ended up being right.
Yeah. What's the problem?
She did end up being right.
Right.
Your mom was right. I mean,
she was
vindicated.
Right.
I just don't know if she wants you saying all that stuff out there.
This
is Jeremy's moment, and what you're doing is actually saying, here's Andy Pettit, you know, Hall of Famer Andy Pettit's been using steroids in high school, according to a report out of Trey's mom.
Well, you're talking about him like he doesn't lead the loop. Like, have you ever been to Deer Park?
No.
Yeah.
It's a question. Not everyone has. I've never been there.
I live in Springs. I mean, I travel. Okay. I get out of the city from time to time.
Every day. You have to travel every single day. What do you think about the okay, that's great. You're a local guy, same as I am. What do you think about this version of the Astros? It's a little sad to have George gone and then to know that we may be seeing the last of Carlos Correa.
Man, seeing George gone with the way he's performing right now, too, is a little bittersweet. Like, at the start of the season, you let George Springer go, it kind of makes sense. He's always hurt. He missed a ton of games for Toronto, and now all of a sudden he looks like he's the best hitter in baseball again. Look, the Astros are one of the favorites to win the American League. They're still a very good team. I know that they have some issues right now. Like, Alex Bregman, I'm worried about Alex Bregman. Like, we're not going to break down Instagram videos a ton on the Killer Bees. Like, that's not what we're going to do. But have you seen Bregman run out of the box? Like, run out of the cages?
Yeah, I have.
He looks terrible.
He looks like he is not. They say his quad's fine, though. James Cook said it's 100%.
If it's, I mean, he looks like Peyton Manning trying to scramble out of the pocket. But it does not look good.
No. But you know who else looked really bad a couple of years ago? Dale, you may remember us talking about this, is Jose Altuve looked really bad when he was in his minor league assignment. We saw him running from second to third. We saw him get up really gingerly on a slide to third, and all we could think of was, oh, no, physically, Altuve's not good at all. Why is he coming back? This is going to be a long-term problem. And then it's like everything was fine. And it's like it never happened, even though there was this really weird, awkward video of him sliding into third and getting up from the slide where we thought, oh, this is a bad situation. But James Click said, the general manager said I know what you're talking about. Now, how old is the video that you're referencing?
I mean, he was in a Sugar Land uniform.
Yeah, it's in his rehab, so it's relatively recently.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think he does come back and he's probably going to be all right, but there is some doubt in my mind that he's not going to. And the timeline of it kind of all is, I don't know if they were trying to push it, get him back quickly. Remember, Bregman was talking about coming back out of the All-Star break. He was talking about making a rehab assignment over in Albuquerque because his dad has, his dad's law firm has his logo on all the handles in the stadium. So, like, it's continued to get pushed back. His 20 days on his rehab assignment gone. He has to make another rehab assignment. So I'm getting worried. I mean, this is a race now. I wouldn't be as worried if the Astros were still leading by the division by 5.5 games. But now that the lead's been trimmed down to 2 and there's some doubt that they could win the American League West, yeah, I think that you have a right to be concerned about Bregman's legs.
Are you going
to
try to counteract with Joel his Green Bay Packers stuff with Houston Texans stuff?
How's that work? Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I don't think we're going to talk a whole lot of Green Bay Packers. We'll talk some. They're relevant. They're in the NFL.
Aaron
Rodgers is relevant.
You have a belief of what you're going to talk about. You don't know what you're going to talk about.
You go find out.
Yeah.
You're going to find out.
Mess around and find out.
So the Texans go this week. Anything you're looking forward to seeing first preseason?
Yeah, I mean, I want to see some of the new guys. Like, this team is not a very good roster. We all know that. But I do want to see if there are some pieces that could help this team down the road. Like, what does Nico Collins look like? Does he look like he's going to be a promising piece in the next few years? I'm not really looking too much at the quarterback spot, and I think this Deshaun Watson situation's all been kind of overblown. But, like, okay, what do they do with the running back? So, what's that going to look like this season? I don't think you're going to play in preseason game number one, but I want to see if this team has some young pieces that could help with the rebuild. Like, this is what the Texans are. I mean, they're going through the process. Like, the Rockets are going to be going through the process, and I think we kind of need to, establish that point, and I think we kind of need to embrace the rebuild for the Houston Texans as well. So I want to see some of the young players and see if they actually have some pieces for the years to come.
You talk about a rebuild. Lance is in favor of an 8-year rebuild for the Rockets. He's like, yeah, well, I pose the question.
He literally wants to trade everybody. I don't want to trade him this year.
I simply pose the question. The Rockets have so many picks. I think for the next 2 to 3 years, they have multiple first round picks. Not all those guys are going to be on the roster.
And pick swaps, too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how long? Okay, let's just say they keep everything. They keep Jalen Green. They keep all the young players. They keep all those picks. That's going to be a little longer, the rebuild, but it wouldn't be 8 years.
This is going to be the longest rebuild in history.
The star players that you're banking on are 19, 21.
Yeah, and they're ballers.
And 19. The Shingoons, they're ballers. The Porter Juniors and the Jalen Greens. What title teams have 23-year-olds on them contributing like you expect? Devin Booker, how long has Devin Booker been in the league?
He was like 5 years.
But you know what happened? Yeah. Devin Booker had never made the playoffs until they got an old point guard, and they got Jay Crowder.
Bring your old guy in like 4 years, like the Suns did with Ayton. Sengun is our Ayton. Jalen Green is our Devin Booker. Boom. There you have it.
Sengun is our Ayton. You're already crowning him.
Yeah, he's our eighth.
Well, all I am saying, I just asked a question. You're just like, yeah, we keep them all. See how it goes. They're not all going to be on the roster when you win if you win a title. Some of these guys are going to get moved. You can't keep that many first rounders on a team. You can't.
You know, I wouldn't.
Josh
I'm
Christopher's our Mikal Bridges.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah. I agree with you on that, Dale. I think that it's at some point they are going
to
trade. You don't
have to suck up with him.
I'm on the show.
We're teammates here pretty soon.
Oh, that's why you're ganging up on me with this crap.
Guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
I've said that for years.
Listen, when Rafael Stone joins us at 10:30, I'm going to say, listen, do you have plans for finally getting rid of some of these guys you just drafted?
So you
can bring in Bradley Beal.
This is not what I'm suggesting. All I am suggesting
is unhappy Bradley Beal.
If we are talking about building and this is the plan going forward, realistically, I would say you got four first rounders. Two of them won't be around when you're good.
I don't mind packaging them, but I want to package them with other young players that can be in that core and the foundation. Like you mentioned,
Jeremy comes right in and tries to get rid of all the Rockets too, just like you, Dell.
I'm not trying to get rid of.
Did y'all have a team meeting already?
I'm just being realistic.
Did y'all already have a team meeting?
You're not going to have a rotation of eight with six of them being first rounders that you drafted.
Porter can go.
That's fine.
Good. Get rid of Porter. I don't care.
I don't care.
He's probably the second or third most talented Rocket right now.
I'm not saying he should trade Kevin Porter.
I just don't know if I want another strip club superstar.
I said it when the Rockets are entering the draft. Hopefully they draft the guy who will say to Kevin Porter, nah, I'm good. I don't want to do that. Nah, you go ahead. I'm good. You need it. Look, you want these young guys to grow together, but you need someone who's going to be the adult. Because Kevin Porter Jr. has proven so far he may make questionable decisions.
That's what Papa Gordon is there.
Eric Gordon's going to be a guy, if he's still on the roster, a third of the year, and can you get me out of here because I'm not getting minutes and we're not going to win. You think Eric Gordon was to hang around on a bad team?
I'm holding out hope that Eric Gordon and John Wall are traded before the start of the season. Not that I have anything wrong against John Wall or Eric Gordon. I like them both. I thought John Wall coming off of his injury, he had a solid season. Eric Gordon I've been a fan of for a while because he comes to U of H practices, actually, and U of H games. But he has been a good player. But at the end of the day, this is a young team with a young core. Like, this is Jalen Green's team. This is KPJ's team. And I think Gordon and Wall kind of be misfits on this young team.
Lance looking for that slow rebuild. He's like, yeah, by the time 2028.
8 years is a lot.
I'm sorry. I'm watching Houston Astros. That hadn't worked out well for them at all.
That took three. In basketball, it's going to take longer.
It'll take two. Have you seen Josh Christopher?
I have.
The next big superstar.
Yeah, I saw him dunking on Saben Lee, some guy you never heard of who plays for the Pistons.
Well,
yes.
We'll continue
I
not
saw
to
that.
Hear of him.
Exactly.
After what happened to him with Josh Christopher. And did you see Josh Christopher trash talk? Did you see his Twitter account when he was 14 trash talking Steph Curry?
Yeah, he was a big LeBron fan. That's why I did it.
Yeah, but you know what? I like that swagger
for
a 14-year-old.
He's not team light skin. That's what that's about.
You think that's what it is?
It's always about
See,
that.
Finally you admit it.
What?
Finally you admit it.
I don't think that way.
Gang, gang.
I don't think that way, but I can recognize the issue. That's all.
I don't think that way, but I see it when I see it.
Yeah, I can acknowledge it.
This is what you're stepping into, Jeremy.
Joel may not
go this far into team light skin, team dark skin, as I will get into it with Dell.
Well, speaking of, you know what John would call Jeremy?
What? Dark meat? Why? It's because he's got a tan?
Yes, that's what John does.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. Yeah, you don't have to deal with John. Don't worry about it.
Is that the right thing to say?
No,
it's not.
It's 100% not the right
it's
thing
wrong.
To say. I like this area. Is that the right thing to
I
say?
Feel like that's inappropriate.
No, it's not the right
thing. It is inappropriate.
Don't even acknowledge what we just said.
Yeah, you don't ever say it.
Yeah, you don't say that. Don't say that. You probably shouldn't have even brought it up to him.
I'm just telling you, when John sees you and he brings it up, just know where it comes
from.
That's all.
Look,
no.
I've been spending a lot of time in the sun, Del.
No,
I don't say that either. I'm smarter than
the only thing
you. I feel like John and I are the same color.
This is what I'm saying.
That's why I say don't lean into it, Jeremy.
Oh.
So I'm saying you got to be careful.
Went too far.
Yeah, you got to be careful because he'll get you roped into his stuff. I can't believe Dell even let you know about that right
Look,
now.
Look, I just know I don't want him to be caught unawares if John goes, yeah, me and Jeremy are the same. And you're like, how are we the same?
It sounds like it was a matter of time.
Because Brandon doesn't sound like an Italian name or a Greek name.
Well, my mom's maiden name's Rios. So I think that would explain it. Huh? Yeah. Brandon, I think Brandon's a German name. I'm telling you,
if there's ever an instance where John sees you
just
and he
don't
goes,
talk
oh,
to John in
me
the hall
and John
if you
are,
see him.
He's going to say, me and Jeremy are the same.
If you see John in the hall, just don't talk
John,
to him.
John and I hang out at the Holgerson shows all the time. He's Holgorsen's biggest fan. He's their front row at every single coach's show.
Well, don't trust me. I think we know that.
Fan is certainly a word for it. I'd call it something else, but it's a little weird. That's all.
All right, Jeremy, thanks for joining us today. Congratulations and good luck. We'll start listening to you on Monday with you'll be there starting at 12 o'clock, right?
12 o'clock, noon.
12 o'clock, Killer Bees. It's you and it's Joel
Blank.
And y'all be jumping off. Packers, and you get to jump right into it. Texans Packers.
Aaron Rodgers, can he throw a 10-yard out? We'll find out. Monday.
He won't play.
On the Killer Bees.
He won't at all. 849. Thanks for don't forget, Jeremy, tell people where they can follow you on Twitter as well.
Yeah, at Jeremy Branham. I make it simple for everybody. You can follow me at Twitter, at Jeremy Branham. And then, of course, we start next week. Joel Blank, Dell will be our producer as well. The Killer Bees, ESPN 975 925.
All right, 850 right here on the bench.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
The change is coming.
Starting Monday, August 16th, change is on the way. On ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, I got a question for you. Did you watch any of Hard Knocks?
I don't particularly care for the NFL when games aren't on, so no.
Okay. But you like good television.
Is Hard Knocks been good television the last 5 years?
I don't know. I think it typically, okay, Liev Schreiber, there's something I romanticize Liev Schreiber's voice when it comes to, you know, narrating Hard Knocks. I love the way that they create some of their openings for some of their Hard Knock stuff. I'll admit it. I think it's in vogue to say that you don't like Hard Knocks anymore, but I still think it's a good show when I watch it. I still think it's well done. The documentarians do a really good job of capturing certain video. Do I think guys kind of show out a little bit extra when they know they're mic'd? Yes. It doesn't feel as real. Do we still get those same dances, like the booty dances that Bernard Pollard did? thankfully, no. I think Bernard Pollard, if he had it to do all over again, would not do that dance on one of the earlier Hard Knocks when he was with the Kansas City Chiefs. 16 years it's been going on. Mike McCarthy, I can't find any video for it. You know, they've taken it off. Basically, you can't get any video. You'll have to pull it directly off of HBO. But he tried to make something up. He's calling them mojo moments. Mojo. He starts talking about this. He's saying it all the time on the field. Guys, mojo moments. And he's trying to make it a thing. It's like when they try to make fetch happen in Clueless or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's trying to make mojo moments a thing in Cowboys camp, and it comes off so freaking corny in yesterday's episode as he keeps going on and on. Mojo moments. It's where he said it's momentum. So he started showing Austin Powers mojo or whatever with Dr. Evil, and it was a chance for him to show, I guess, an Austin Powers clip, and he took, you know, about mojo. He took that and said, okay, I'm going to do something with this in camp this year. I'm going to do mojo moments. And it just comes off so corny. I just wondered if you saw it, because I can't be the only one who was cringing the whole time he was doing that. Let me bring in Sonny, SMU Sonny. Did you see, you want to talk Hard Knocks, so I'm assuming you watched it. Did you have the same cringy feel when he was trying so hard to make this mojo moment thing happen?
No, I mean, I thought it was pretty cool.
You liked it?
I liked it, yeah. I mean, just something different, you know. I'm sure the players got into it when they were saying lines. And plus, that's a great original movie and a good series. So, I mean, I thought it was neat.
Yeah, I just, to me, it just seemed like he was trying too hard. Now, the guy that I liked on it was Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn, the defense coordinator, who former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And I kind of wonder about, I'm going to visit this with Bucky Brooks today when we do the Move the Sticks podcast. But it's always an interesting dynamic to me when you go from being a head coach on another team, you get fired, and you become the offensive or defense coordinator for a team. Like, you were just in the big boy seat. It's so strange to see those guys have to take subservient roles. But Dan Quinn, you do get the sense that he's going to be the head coach of the defense. You do get that vibe, and you can see why players like him.
Yeah, I like DQ.
Hold on a second. You're a Cowboys fan, aren't you, Sonny?
I'm a Cowboys fan. Yeah,
that's fine. We're talking Hard Knocks. I'm not going to hold it against you.
You got to hit me up when you're up in Dallas next.
Well, I was only up there for a concert that didn't happen, and then the other time I was in Dallas was when I flew in after a 3-hour delay and then drove right back to Houston and got in after midnight so I could do this show today. Dustin, who's also a Cowboy fan, by the way, he says the mojo moment was embarrassing, and then he did a trash can emoji, Sonny.
The mojo moment was cool because the Cowboys have the mojo man, Garrett Gilbert, and that guy, he's Mr. Texas football.
Yeah.
He's a Super Bowl champ. He's a Hawaii Bowl champ. Jesus. And he's going to be the story of Hard Knocks. I don't know why he didn't get more run.
Yeah.
He
did have Dak Prescott
I think he's underrated, and he needs more love.
Needs more, yeah.
And nationally.
You gave him the Super Bowl champ thing because of what? Being on the Patriots practice squad? Is that why he's a Super Bowl champ?
How many rings you got, Dell?
Who are you, John?
He's a Super Bowl champion.
Who are you, Granato? Trey? Stop it. And we know he went to SMU. Cut it out.
Yeah, cut it out, Sonny.
He's really underrated.
Wait, what?
That's it. Hang up on Sonny.
You're done.
He's
Bye.
Doing his SMU thing again.
Super Bowl champ because he was on the practice squad.
Where's your ring?
Where's yours?
I don't have one, but Garrett Gilbert has
Stop
more than
it.
Both of them.
I don't even. Do we even know if practice squad guys get rings?
Yeah, they do.
How do you know?
Because I saw it on Pawn Stars.
Which practice squad player?
I'd love to counter that. I don't know that I can counter it.
I don't know that is.
He may have actually seen that.
I don't think he's lying, actually.
On Pawn Stars.
It was some dude from the Patriots. He had
Garrett
Gilbert? Garrett Gilbert, probably.
No, it wasn't Garrett Gilbert. It was like Ricky Davis or something.
Yeah.
And he had like a Super Bowl ring that he gave to his friend, and his friend was trying to pawn it on Pawn Stars. And
there we go.
This is the real Super Bowl ring.
Mojo Man. Is that what Garrett Gilbert's nickname is?
No, it's not. That's Sonny. He was making that up. You're not going to be the Mojo Man when you're like third string quarterback.
By the way, I hate Austin Powers.
What does that have to do?
Is that
a reference? That's where Mojo Man comes
from?
Yeah.
That's where Mojo, all that comes from.
Mojo. Daniel says, I'm calling BS on Trey's mom. I also went to high school with Andy Pettit and worked out with him in the offseason before he went to spring training. He's the nicest guy you'll ever meet.
She didn't say he was.
I'm just saying what my mom told me.
She just said he did steroids, right? What else did she say?
She didn't like him either.
Oh, was he rude?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. He was at the cool kids' table. I mean, sometimes they get a bad rap, you know,
I don't think mom had hot girl privilege back then.
Well, you know, that's for you to say. I'm not going to comment on that.
I've never seen your mom, so I can't say.
I'm not going to comment on
that.
What
do you mean you've never seen my mom, Dell? She was here.
When?
Like last year.
Was I here for that?
No, you were.
You mean during
the
pandemic?
Wait a minute. Why are you
bringing your mom up to a place during a pandemic?
Hour.
Forget about that. He gets upset. Well, what do you mean you've never seen my mom? He goes, I brought her up here when you weren't here.
Yeah.
So what? Of course.
Lance, you saw her.
What are you talking about?
You
when
were
did
here?
I see your mom?
You were here.
Where was
drinking
I?
Malort and
You brought your mom in to drink nasty beverages with
she
the
She was
Blitz?
Here with us.
Why
yeah.
would you want to bring your
Why
mom
would you
around
bring her
AJ?
To bring here
Broke
to drink
Twitch
Malort
records.
And have AJ here with Malort in
Why would
system.
You want your mom anywhere near AJ?
Fred's got Malort and you're doing that and you're making
it
your mom
broke
come in?
Twitch records. See that 804? That's because my mom was here.
What 804? What are you talking
on the about? White on the glass?
There's
it
a
says
number
804.
For the
that
most
was,
people ever on Twitch.
Oh,
it was 804.
That was just seeing my mom.
Did we win stuffed animals for that?
Yeah.
Or what happened?
We all got those big teddy bears.
Oh,
with the hearts.
Congrats! Like you get,
I didn't get
like
one.
You get when you make
yeah,
a basket
here,
in the
Del.
Crappy goal at the fair.
Yes, you get a giant teddy bear.
Yeah, but then it's already the stitching's already coming out in those little
it's poorly
tiny
made.
Little.
Fizzy things. It's poorly made. Yeah. Just like us.
That's what we won.
Oh, no. I want to stop talking about your mom. I never want to talk about your mom. And then you brought moms into this, Trey. Be careful.
I'm just telling you what she told me about Andy Pettit.
He's rude and he did steroids, according to Trey's mom.
I woke up, I swear on Jesus, I did not think I was going to wake up hearing Andy Pettit, his good name besmirched by Trey and Trey's mom. I never thought that was going to be the show today. And yet here we are, and a Houston legend, and Deer Park legend, no less, just taking bullets this morning from behind the glass.
Call in, Andy.
All heroes have haters, Lance.
Apparently it's you can't find a hero.
Apparently it's Trey and Trey's mom. Speaking of the haters are going to have to put it on hold right now for Rafael Stone. He's going to join us at 10:30, but so far appears to be doing a pretty good job of building a grassroots movement that hopefully will last for a long time with young players.
Lance will love Rafael Stone as long as he keeps this team together currently as it stands for 8 years without making a move.
Hey. As long as we're building a slow burn to a championship, I don't care. 902 here on the bench.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save